This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, and we are live, alhamdulillah. So we're going to go ahead and get things kicked off, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyid al-Anbiya al-Mursaleen, Nabiyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And welcome to day 26 of Ramadan 360. This is your brother Abdurrahman Justin Wood coming to you live from Columbus, Ohio, on behalf of Qabilat Mujaddid, the Al-Maghrib chapter here in Columbus. We are honored to be with you here and to kick off day 26 here on the eve of the 27th night, which we know is an exciting time for many communities, many of us around the world. We're in these final moments of the month of Ramadan, and what better way to spend your time than here in this beautiful and supportive community. It's been an amazing run so far. I'm already starting to have some nostalgia and feel like I'm going to miss this time with everyone, but we're still in it and we're still here. And we are blessed to have with us Sheikh Majid Mahmoud to do our main session. And then we're going to have Sheikh Saad Taslim to do our final session for his final session of Quran Reflect. So we're excited for both of those events to go down, inshallah ta'ala. We do want to start off by giving a quick shout out and thanks to our charity partners who have been so generous in helping us. And I know we've been reciprocating that generosity by supporting them and their causes. So we do ask you to take a moment, as you have been, mashallah, we've been getting great feedback about it, to donate when possible to our USA partner, which is HHRD, our partner in Canada, Islamic Relief, and in the UK, Forgotten Women, all of them doing amazing work. And we also want to remind you about Al Maghrib's Launch Good campaign, which is almaghrib.org/give. As we mentioned the other day, we started right here, launching that program here in Ramadan 360 with just a couple of $100s. And now, mashallah, we are well north of $100,000. And we're still working on supporting that campaign. We want to make sure that that legacy of knowledge, that legacy of being able to share authentic Islamic teachings with the world, with people who don't have access to a local scholar or to a masjid, or who just appreciate the option, we want to do that. I just want to share with you very briefly. I have a very dear friend here in Columbus. He's been paralyzed since the mid 80s. For a long time, he could get in a wheelchair. He could go to the masjid in a van and attend salat, attend lectures, things like that. For the past 3 years, his condition has deteriorated. May Allah give him shifa. But as of right now, he is completely bedridden. He can't get out of bed even. But he is able to use a computer. He is able to get online. And so he's been able to benefit so much from programs like we're offering here at Al Maghrib. And I just want you to think that there are many people in similar circumstances, whether it's due to lack of access physically or lack of just the access in their area, that they don't have that access. Some of you, I'm sure, could share stories of how this is really a lifeline for you. It is a way for you to receive knowledge that you otherwise wouldn't have access to. So just know that the almaghrib.org/give campaign, I'll drop the link here in just a moment as we get started, is a great way to be a part of establishing that legacy for many people around the world who are in similar circumstances. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to bless your generosity as well. Again, you've been an amazing community. We also want to shout out those of you on Facebook and YouTube. By the way, if you want to come join us in Zoom, the registration is still open at Ramadan360.org. So feel free to jump on. Free registration. You can join us here, have access to all the benefits of being able to ask questions in person, being able to jump in to the Telegram community as well. So feel free to join us. But if you want to hang out on Facebook and YouTube, we love you there too. That's perfectly fine as well, inshallah ta'ala. Finally, as a reminder to everyone, let's try to get as many cameras on today as we can, really to approach this knowledge with the dignity that it deserves. I've had a couple of Ramadan 360 days. I'm not going to lie, Sheikh Majid, where I was so tired from the fasting. I was lying in bed listening and just kind of not on camera. It's happened. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us energy toward the end of Ramadan. So those of you who are kind of chilling and listening in the background, if you can come on with us, we absolutely appreciate it. And to get started, just a quick introduction, Sheikh Majid Mahmoud, he is one of Al Maghrib's own, started as a volunteer, as a student, completed his bachelor's degree with Al Maghrib Institute, and has gone on to become a teacher worldwide, teaching his famous seminar, The Art of Manners, which we were hoping to bring to Columbus pre-pandemic, and then pandemic happened, so he couldn't get you here. He's also teaching, he's taught that both online and in person. He's also taught devotion, which is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I had the honor of attending that course virtually, and I just heard that it's actually coming live. So inshallah, to a community near you soon, you'll have an opportunity to experience that class with Sheikh Majid. So without further ado, we will go ahead and get things started. Sheikh Majid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abdurrahman. Jazakallah khair for being our wonderful host this afternoon. May Allah bless you and protect you. And thank you for introduction. And a big thank you also to those who are joining us live. Jazakumullah khairan. And if you're watching this as a recorded session later on, may Allah bless you and protect you as well. You know, I'm realizing when Maghrib asked me what date to choose and deliver the lecture, they have all these topics. So this was one of the stories that I really enjoy and I really like and want to learn more about. And as the date got closer, I realized that tonight is the night of the 27th, right? So as much as I would want to jump into the story right away, allow me, if you guys do not mind, talk a little bit about Laylatul Qadr, correct? So first of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allowed us to live this far. Say alhamdulillah, all of you, whether your cameras are on or off, muted, unmuted, live, recorded, say alhamdulillah, really, alhamdulillah. And if you're in Malaysia and Singapore, then most likely you witnessed the entire night of the 27th. Allahumma barik. So please, if there's a few more minutes left, please remember us all in your dua. May Allah bless you and protect you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Excellent. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not sure if you guys are able to unmute, but that's fine. You can feel free to type it in the chat box or discuss it with your family or think of it yourself. Why in the world are most people saying or believe or act that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th? Do you have any narration, any authentic narration that explicitly says the 27th? Anybody knows, feel free to type it up. Because it's something, and we really have to wonder at minimum, right? Like, why is the, like, even I take my kids to Taraweeh usually on the weekends, and now they don't have school because they go to an Islamic school. So there's no school. Just, that's one of the benefits of an Islamic school. Alhamdulillah. So I told them, Baba, tonight the masajid are not normal. Wallahu a'lam, right? It's going to be like beyond Jum'ah prayer. It's going to be beyond any other night of your life. So let's see how we will be able to work it out. Why is the masajid like that? Why? Why do the boards and different masajid call imams, give us a khatir, a reminder? Why? Why the 27th? A hadith that say, look for it on the 27th. Okay, Raghad, excellent. So there was sahabi, right? Okay. So yes, so there is a hadith that says 27th, 25th, and 29th in one narration. I'll give you one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me the exact night of Al-Qadr. فَذَهَبْتُ. So I left my house, left the area to tell the world when that date would be. And when I left, I saw so-and-so and so-and-so, two guys fighting. He said, فَرُفِعَتْ. So this piece of information has ascended, no longer remembered. It's like, for example, forgive me, Brother Abdurrahman, as an example. Let's say I'm talking. So then Abdurrahman, he unmutes himself. He says, Brother Majid, fix your camera. So I say, okay, I fix my camera. Now, after I fix my camera, what happens, Abdurrahman? I'll be like, what was I saying? What was the last thing I said? Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the better example, he had this issue, people were fighting. So he went to address the problem. Once the problem was addressed, he's like, what was the date? And he completely forgot the date, subhanAllah. So right off the bat, let's avoid any fighting, any issues, any complaints. Just, you know, when you watch YouTube, there's a lot of ads, right? So you press skip ad. So throughout the night, just skip ads. Skip someone's unnecessary comment. Skip someone's weird looks towards you. Skip someone's attitude. It's not worth it to address it now. Do your best to overcome all of these and overlook them. طيب. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I forgot what the date is. However, focus on the 25th, on the 27th, and the 29th. So that's three. So that's Sarah mentioned that. Excellent. May Allah bless you. But there's one specifically about the 27th. There's maybe multiple. But the one here is the following. It's authentic hadith. A man goes to Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. So he says, Ya Ubay, I heard your brother, Akhaka, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, check what Ibn Mas'ud says. Ibn Mas'ud says, whoever prays Qiyam, the night prayer, every single night of the year, then for sure they get Laylatul Qadr. He's a smart man. Okay? If you're able to pray Qiyam all night, then for sure you got Laylatul Qadr. Now, how many days are in the year? How many days are in the year? Think about it. Excellent. Okay. 316, 365. Maryam from the UK is asking me. Maryam from the UK is saying Hijri with a question mark. Yes, of course, Hijri. Excellent. So yes, 355 on the upper side, 354 on the lower end, and Allah knows best. By the way, your zakah is based on Hijri. Your Ramadan is based on Hijri. Your Qiyam is based on Hijri. So be careful. Okay, don't say my zakah is the beginning of every June. La, it's the beginning of every Muharram or Rabi' al-Awwal or Ramadan, etc. Fine. So Ibn Mas'ud says, if you pray Qiyam 355 nights, you definitely got Laylatul Qadr. He's a smart man. Now, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, when he heard this, he said, may Allah have mercy on Ibn Mas'ud. He says, Wallahi, Ibn Mas'ud knows that it's in Ramadan. So now Ubay ibn Ka'ab, he reduced 355 to how many? To 30. And Wallahi, he knows that it's in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And Wallahi, he says, Wallahi, he swears by Allah, it's on the 27th. So then the people asked Ubay ibn Ka'ab, Ya Ubay, what makes you so confident that it's on the 27th? He said, because I saw a sign the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that happens the day of Al-Qadr, not the night, so the following. So after the night is done, there's that sign, and he mentions the very famous sign, which is the sun rises without any rays. So the sun looks like what? Like the moon. Just like how you see the moon, that's how the sun will look like in simple English. So he said, I saw that sign, and wallahi, it was the day of the 27th. That's why I'm 100% sure Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of things that we can discuss. But this is one thing that really motivates us tonight. If I have a session tomorrow, I would tell you a hadith that will make you think Laylatul Qadr is on the 28th. And if I had a session on Friday, I will give you a hadith with another confirmation that Laylatul Qadr is on the 29th. Allahu Akbar. And if I was here, yes, if I was here on Sunday, I will give you a hadith to tell you authentic that Laylatul Qadr is on the 30th. Is that possible? Yes, absolutely. I'll give you the 30th. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was telling the Sahaba with Laylatul Qadr, one of the narration the Sahaba said, wa akhiru layla. What does wa akhiru layla mean? And the last night of Ramadan. So this may mean it is the 30th of Ramadan. Right? No. So may Allah protect us and bless us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. The one hadith that is puts it all together. We all have what is it called? The largest common denominator. Not that it's on the odd nights. The strongest and the clearest that there's almost no difference, inshallah, almost no difference of opinion, is that it's in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Because some ahadith, they suggest it's on the even nights, not just the odd. So play it safe, odd and even, the last 10 nights, as Mufri has said from Chicago, may Allah bless you. So really pay attention to this. Do your best to utilize your time. And of course, you don't forget your brother Majid in your dua. Please, guys, jazakumullah khair. And I'll do my best to remember you all. I'll make dua for all of the people, especially those with the cameras on. I'll never forget them, inshallah. May Allah bless you all and protect you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And of course, all the cameras are being opened now. May Allah bless you. The dua you need to keep in mind. Allahumma, innaka afuun. Oh Allah, you are forgiving. You love to forgive, so please forgive me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you all those watching us. May Allah grant the afu upon you all. And this dua changes your past and changes your future. Don't forget this. This dua, why is it so special? Because it changes your past and it changes your future. Brother, explain. This dua changes your past in a way that it erases every single shortcoming you've done since the day you were born, inshallah. everything is erased in a way that you will not remember what you have done of wrong when you meet Allah, in a way that Allah will not remind you of the mistakes that you've done, in a way that you will not be nervous or anxious or see any consequences of the sin throughout your life and after life. Allahumma naka afoon tuhibbul afa fa'fu anni. That's the past. So what about the future? Many of us here watching and listening know about the past. Oh yeah, I know it forgives my past. Alhamdulillah, it leaves nothing behind. But many of us do not know that the future part, this dua changes your future. How is that? Al-afu means ziyada. What does ziyada mean? Extra. Means what? Extra. Or excess. How did you get this meaning from? Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't forget to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask you, how much should they spend? Tell them, al-afu. Spend, which is beyond, which is extra. I will use this meaning. I want to put it into the dua. Ready? Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbu al-afa fa'fu anni means, oh Allah, give me everything I asked for and extra and more than what I asked for of what you know is good for me. Allahu Akbar. So imagine the one filling the blanks for you is Allah. Many times you want to make dua and you forgot, oh, I forgot this, I forgot that. Allah will take care of it. Al-afu. Allah is the one who gives that extra. So this dua changes your past and changes your future. So continuously repeat it. May Allah make it possible for all of us. Ya Rabbal Alameen. All right. Let's go to the story. Nice and summary, inshallah. The story we have tonight are the people of the garden. Ashab al-Jannah. Naam, Ashab al-Jannah. Just like Sister Shamim's profile picture, a nice flower, right? That garden, very filled with fruits, filled with palm trees. Allahumma barik. They were very well off, by the way. They were rich, rich people. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So what's their story, brother? What surah? It's Surah Al-Qalam, the pen, right? It's one of the earlier surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. But what ayah are we going to start from? We will start from ayah 17. And the story, in a way, ends on ayah 33. So from 17 to 33. The brother, one question. Yes, what surah number? It's surah 68. Surah 68. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I want to end the session, inshallah, I want to ask you guys a question. And if I forget to address it, let me know. I want to give someone a gift by telling me, what's the relationship between the story we will discuss and Laylatul Qadr? If you're able to connect them together, يعني, I will give you a gift. What is it? I don't know. There's a gift, inshallah. Khalas? Bismillah. All right. Okay, baby, spin the wheel. So the ayat was from ayah number 17 to 33. Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 68. Allah says, Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. Allah says, we have tested the people of Mecca, the people of Quraysh, just like how we tested the owners of the garden. Brother, I don't know what's going on. Who are the owners of the garden? Let me give you a background from the books of Tafsir. There's a wonderful father, very good man, very well off, had a large garden filled with fruits. And he was very known in the community to be a generous man. He used to donate right, left, and center. The poor people would come, cannot afford the food and the fruit, and he would give them at no cost. Allahu Akbar. He had such open door policy that people could not stop loving him, could not stop praising him, and they very much looked up to him. This wonderful father, he had multiple children. Some say he had three kids. And just like all of us watching, all of us listening, we will all have to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This father, who had a beautiful history of donations, giving, helping the needy, he is on his deathbed. He is returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without a doubt, he's been telling his kids, continue this work, continue helping the people, continue using what Allah has blessed you with to help those that are less fortunate. And then the father returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this father has passed away, the kids were busy on one main thing. The kids were busy how to utilize this whole inheritance. How do I take my dad's garden and become richer and richer and have more and more money? Is this wrong? No, it's not wrong. Is it haram? No, it's not haram. We all want to grow our wealth. There's no doubt in that, inshallah, and very much give back. La, la, la. These people do not want to give back. These people want to grow their wealth. And the step that they came together, the conclusion that said, how can I grow my wealth? Do I put it in a retirement plan? La. Do I go buy Bitcoin? La. Do I go buy real estate? No. Their way of making money, that's how they came to the conclusion. I make money by stopping to give. Allahu Akbar. They thought, I will make more money if I don't do what my dad used to do. If I stop people from taking from our money and for us to stop donating, for us to stop sharing our blessings with others, this is how my money will grow. That's what they thought. So then these people, after their father has passed away, they made an oath and they were serious. If أَقْسَمُوا وَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمُ What is it? لَا يَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ That they will harvest all the fruit right from the early morning. مُصْبِحِينَ صَبَاح No, صَبَاح الْخَيْرِ Good morning. Right from the get-go, from the morning, we will go and take all the fruits, chop it all off. But why, brothers, sisters, why would they want to do that? Why? They want to go as early as they possibly can. So when the poor people come and they're told, oh, we're sold out today. Oh, we don't have no fruits today. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Maybe another day. So they show that there's nothing we can give you. All the fruits are gone. So let's come very early on. Subhanallah. It's like some people, they think they're smart. Huh? Zakat day comes. And before the zakat, they go buy a new house to minimize the zakat payment, or buy a new car to minimize that. Subhanallah, may Allah protect us. They're not identical. The examples, they're not identical. But some people, they try to plot. La, don't do these things. May Allah protect us. Don't, may Allah protect us. So they said, Wallahi, in the morning, we will cut all the fruits off, and then Bismillah will proceed. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in next ayah, وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ Ayah number 18. What does وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ mean? It has two meanings too. Some say they did not say inshallah. So not saying inshallah loses the barakah. Just like Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, right? We know that every single day they try to poke a hole into the wall to go and attack us all. So every day they poke a hole. They say, tomorrow we will continue. The next day they come, guess what happens? The hole is closed until one day they say inshallah. God willing, then the hole remains and they open it and they break through. So that's one of the meanings. They said, tomorrow we will cut the fruits, we will harvest everything, but they never said inshallah. The other meaning, وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ, meaning we will not leave anything behind. So there's no exception. Not even one tree will be left behind. We won't say, instead of donating 10% like what my dad does or 33%, let me donate 2%. No, they want 0% donation. Nothing. Don't give me 2.5%. None of that stuff. Fine. Ayah 19. When these people had this plan, and I want you to realize something, many times these corruptors, they plan at night. Okay? So this plan was developed tomorrow morning. Let's sleep early. Okay? And then work in a way next morning we wake up before anyone and start harvesting the fruits. What's the next ayah? Allah says, ayah number 19, فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ Allah said, while they were sleeping, نَائِمُونَ, Allah sent a punishment, a torment that destroyed pretty much everything, as you will see. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ That punishment Allah has sent was so severe that it left nothing behind. Not even one, فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ reduced to ashes. Did you guys notice something? I said it destroyed everything. Just like how they refused to give a single tree, not even reduced from 33% to 1%. Do you want zero? Allah made everything go zero as well. Allahu Akbar. But brothers and sisters, there's a very important question. And I want your undivided attention. When this punishment came, what were the three brothers doing? I just told you. What were they doing? Feel free to type it up or anything like that. They were sleeping. Ahsanti, Aisha, Raba. They were sleeping. So I want to ask you guys a question. Allah destroyed the whole fruits and the trees for them. But did they cut the trees or not yet? Did they already take the fruits and did they already hide it and did they already tell people they're sold out? Did they do that? Lubna said no, and Ammar said no, and Shamim said no, and Fatima said no, and Raghat said no, and Maryam and Suri Kullu said no. Tayyib, ya akhwani, akhawati, sisters, brothers, how is it possible Allah would to punish them before they did the action? Subhanallah. Allah destroyed everything. Why? This comes to show you something known as azima, their intention. They had the intention. They made the niyyah. Tomorrow I'm doing it. So basically, they already made the plan. Nothing is stopping us from doing this action. So this comes to tell you that someone can be punished for an action they did not do yet. Subhanallah. So brother, I have a quick question. I think this is, I'm very confused. I'm very, very confused, brother. Why? Because I heard in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever is about to do a bad deed and does not do it, they get good deeds. And if someone does not do it, Allah will not write it for them. How is that possible? Here's the difference. The people that had the intention to do the bad deed, if they did not do it for the sake of Allah, they felt bad. People have emotions, feelings like, man, I can't believe I thought of this horrible plan. A'udhu billah, in Ramadan, I do this. La, 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 I'm not doing it. And they do not do it, Allah will reward them. So they stopped it for the sake of Allah. There's a guy about to rob a bank. He has the mask, he has the gloves, he has the glasses, he has the scissors, he has all these things, the weapons to go break through the bank. But someone turns on the light. So this person says, no, I'm not going to rob tonight. No, you have in your scale that you robbed the bank and you took all the money. Subhanallah. So you have to be very, very careful. Some people, they say statements, and I remember younger people here in the States and some other countries, may Allah forgive us. I remember in high school, people said, if going to the prom was halal, I definitely would have went, man. You know what I mean? I really want to go, but my mom will end up knowing and my dad will end up knowing. I'll get in trouble. Can you imagine someone getting the sins of going to a prom, though they didn't go? And if they lost dunya and akhirah, subhanallah. No fun here or there. May Allah protect us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. It's not even fun to begin with. But it's something to be very critical and cautious of. Have a sincere intention and do the good deeds. If you happen to have a bad intention, repent to Allah before it's too late. Repent to Allah before it's too late. Because many of us, we get excited. Allah will reward me for my niyyah. And sometimes Allah will punish for the niyyah. Because there are actions of the heart that people may get punished for. Besides niyyah, tell me something that is punishable and maybe haram, an action of the heart. You didn't say anything. You didn't even move your hand. Jealousy, ahsanti, right? Jealousy and hasad, an inappropriate type of lust. May Allah protect us, right? All hearts, subhanallah. Greed, ahsanti, tama'. May Allah. Arrogance, look at this person, right? Look at them. And you think you're better. You didn't say a single word. So yes, the heart, there are actions involved in it. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So while they're sleeping, Allah destroyed everything. Then Allah says, فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. Yalla, bismillah, wake up. فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ. They woke each other up. Yalla, get up. In the daybreak, they made sure all three are awake. And they reminded one another of the plan. Let's go, guys. أَنِغْدُوا عَلَى حَرْثِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَارِمِينَ. Let's go early to your harvest. If you want to pick all the fruit, we need to go right now, repeating the action plan. فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. So they went off, this is verse 23. And they're walking tippy-toe. So no one can notice. A little bit dark out there, but there's some light. يَتَخَافَتُونَ, whispering. I don't want to take any chances. I don't want anyone to know the money that we have. I don't want anyone to know how much money Allah gave us. No. فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. What do they want? أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. Guys, we need to be very quick. We need to be very fast and, you know, hands work so fast in cutting all these fruits. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا. So no poor person can come to us today. I want them, these poor people, when they walk and they see us, don't even bother us anymore. Stop asking me for donations. Okay, I'm sick of this. All right, let's go. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. Then what happened? وَغَدَوْا عَلَىٰ حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ. and they proceeded early. And Allah says, Qadirin. What's Qadir? Capable. Yani they were completely fixated on their purpose. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا, as they're walking late at early in the morning, and they saw their lots or their garden or the land, قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَالُّونَ. Don't say Ameen. This is not Fatiha. Inna la dalun. No, we got this GPS lost signal. They said this is not our land. There's no way. Google did not update the Google Maps. This cannot be our garden because ours is a very big, luscious, filled with fruit. There's no way. Inna la dalun. We definitely went to the wrong address. But then they realized, no, this is not the wrong address. This is the correct address. This is the right address. This is our farm. This is our land. بل نحن محرومون. We have been deprived. They realize it's all gone. Then one of the three brothers, what is he saying? أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْ لَتُسَبِّحُونَ. It seems that one of the three brothers wasn't as bad. He said, did I not tell you to fear Allah? Did I not tell you to give some to the people of need? Did I not tell you not to do this horrible plan? Then what happened to them? They realized, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا. Now they want to say, yeah, subhanallah. Now they want to do all this after it's too late. They said, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا. Inna kunna zalimin. We wronged ourselves. We cannot believe we did this. But watch. Watch what they're about to do. They didn't want to take full responsibility yet. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. So the three brothers said, no, it's your mistake. No, you woke me up. No, it was your plan. No, you didn't listen to dad. You were always the disobedient child. And يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. Blaming one another. May Allah protect us. Just take the responsibility yourself. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا. They came to fully realize, إِنَّا كُنَّا طَاغِينَ. We definitely were transgressors. نعم. هذا من الطغيان. Then you can see there's a sense of remorse, a sense of regret. Then they said, عَسَى رَبُّنَا. Perhaps we pray to Allah. We make tawbah. We repent to Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, perhaps you can give us something better than what we have lost. إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا رَغِبُونَ. We're going to turn to our Lord. We're going to learn from our mistakes. We're going to learn a very critical lesson that we will never, never lose our money whenever we give some of it to people of need. Our wealth is never decreased when we share some of it with others. Allahu Akbar. Asa Rabbuna an yubdilana khayran minha. Perhaps Allah will give us something better. Some of the ulama, they said, Allah accepted their repentance and Allah replaced them with a garden similar to what they had and perhaps even better. But and then Allah says, كذلك العذاب. Allah says, this is the punishment of the dunya. وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ. And the one in the يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, Akbar, is even bigger, only if they knew. So people, if they do not take lessons from the pain in this life, there'll be a greater pain in the afterlife. Listen to this ayah. Now I'm done from Surah Al-Qalam. Allah says, sometimes Allah gives you struggles and pain to wake you up. Allah says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ. We will make people taste, ذوق, taste. مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى. From the minor punishment. Before the major punishment. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So perhaps they may return. Sometimes Allah puts these difficulties in our ways. I'm not saying everyone is in pain right now is because of this, to return back to Allah. No, I'm not saying that. But some people's pain, Allah caused it to happen because that's how they wake up. Some people, they wake up in prison. Some people, they wake up when they lose something beloved to them. Some people, they come to a realization of the truth when they have a loss in a job or a loss of life in the family or a loss of income, something like that. So Allah says, we make them taste the minor pain before the major pain, so perhaps they may return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here you realize, brothers and sisters, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people with blessings the same way He tests them with hardship. And it's something that you have to be very cautious of. May Allah grant you all success and pass every test that you face. Ya Rab. In this very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that should make you very comfortable and should make you very relaxed whenever it comes to helping people, whenever it comes to spending from your money and assist those less fortunate. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man was walking in the desert. And I want you to imagine the scene. A guy walking in the desert. Maybe he's traveling from one city to another city on the highway. All of a sudden, he hears a sound coming from the cloud. Oh, cloud, rain, make it rain on the land of so-and-so. You know, is the guy awake? Well, is he sleeping or what's going on here? No, literally, there's a sound from the cloud. Someone says, make it rain on so-and-so land. So this man who was traveling, he starts seeing the cloud moving in one specific direction. So he said to himself, you know, forget my trip, forget my plans. I'm following this cloud because this is something unbelievable. So he's following the cloud. I want you to imagine he's traveling, seeing the cloud, seeing the cloud, seeing the cloud. Then the cloud stops. When he sees it stopping, he says there's no rain, there's no signs of anything like that at all. It was not cloudy, it was about to have a thunderstorm, nothing. But this cloud came, all of a sudden it started to rain, rain and rain and rain. He said there were so many different paths, so many different ways the rain can go. But all the water came into one specific path as if it's been guided. All the water is going to, imagine, I want you to imagine 10 houses. Okay, the water can go to all 10 backyards. But somehow the law of gravity changes in a way that all the water that can go to 10 homes is going to only to one house. Allahu Akbar. So this man said, then I saw someone in this house doing his yard, fixing the beginning or ending of the yard so the water can pour into his land nicely and organized. He was not satisfied. He went to this man's house. Yes, salamu alaykum, wa alaykum salam. Brother, can I ask you a question? So the man who heard the sound, the man who's been traveling, he's going to the owner of the house. Brother, can I ask you a question? Sure, you can feel it's a bit strange. Like, what do you want to ask me about? But go ahead, ask your question. What's your question? He said, what's your name? My name? My name is so-and-so. And the man was super shocked. The man could not believe what he heard. Why? Because it's the exact same name he heard from the cloud that says rain on the land of so-and-so. So then this man asked him, why did you ask me about my name? He said, let me tell you. Because while I was traveling, I heard a sound coming from the cloud. It said rain upon the land of so-and-so. It mentioned a name. I asked you about your name, and your name matched what was in the cloud. So he says, can I ask you one more question? He said, go ahead. One more question, please. What in the world do you do in life? What in the world do you do with your wealth? What do you do with this farm? What's your story that makes Allah make it rain at a time that no app on the phone will tell you is going to rain? What do you do to make the water pour on your land and no one else's land? What in the world do you do that your name is famous in the heavens? What's your story? What do you do? So this man says, since you experienced this, I will share with you. I'll share with you how I live my life, how I do my business. He said, when I grow my land, I take 33% of the production and give it in donations. Allahu Akbar. 1/3 of my production, fi sabilillah. 1/3 I spend on myself, my wife, and family. And the last third I keep in the land to grow the next production. So this man was very much impressed. And I want you to realize something. Giving 33% of your revenue, of your income, that's something remarkable. And you come to see here that the more you give, the more miraculous things Allah does to you. And 1/3 can be your max to give in a situation. What about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? He gave all of his wealth. In that story, he gave all of his wealth, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, because it was the case of an emergency. It was life and death. It was a battle. It was jihad. Just go all in. But in a general situation, 1/3, you want to go up to this much. This is what the man did. So, remember what the Ashab al-Jannah went through. They thought, me not giving, I'll have more fruits, more money, more income, less taxes, all these things. No, that's all incorrect. The more you give, the more Allah gives back to you. As Allah says, that in shakartum, if you're grateful, I will give you more. But also, if we are ungrateful, Allah will take that same blessing away from us, or He will keep it. Stay with that blessing, but it will be means of pain and torment. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah make us grateful before it's too late. I asked you a question before, and now I ask you the question again. What's the relationship between this story and Laylatul Qadr? Feel free to answer, or if you have any questions, inshallah, I will be able to assist in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right.
Would you like the answers in the chat, or do you want hands raised?
Sure, we have hands raised. I think that's excellent.
Great. If you want to raise your hands, we'll go ahead and get you unmuted so that you can answer, inshallah, on the mic.
Sure. So let's go with Nadine from Dallas.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Could you repeat the question again?
So I said, what's the relationship between whatever we have mentioned in the story and Laylatul Qadr?
I think the relation between the story and Laylatul Qadr is that, you know, maybe you have to like do like good, great things, and you have to give sadaqah and zakah on this day, and maybe on Laylatul Qadr or this night, maybe your du'as will be answered, your wealth will be increased.
So to believe, like, you know what, you give Laylatul Qadr, there's barakah, there's greatness. Yeah. You know, excellent, ahsant, excellent. Thank you so much. Excellent. So let's go to Sister Amna, then Raghib. Amna, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I'm giving charity expiates sins as well. And we're Laylatul Qadr to expiate our sins, to be forgiven for our past and future sins. And by giving zakat or sadaqah, we're purifying our wealth, and we're purifying ourselves in a way. So I think it's a great connection between the two.
MashaAllah, barakallah. Excellent. Very, very good. MashaAllah. Go ahead.
I saw it as basically the opposite of what you should do on Laylatul Qadr, that they slept and they had bad intentions and they didn't want to give to charity. They weren't remembering Allah. They were doing the opposite of what you should be doing on Laylatul Qadr, remembering Allah, praying, giving charity, doing everything that you should be doing.
Excellent. MashaAllah. And actually, this was what I was referring to. This is what my niyyah, what the point that Sister Raghad has mentioned. Ahsanti. May Allah bless you and protect you.
Exactly.
See, with the story, many times we got Laylatul Qadr, rewarding, forgiving, and so on. But we have to also realize something. Not taking it serious might get us very punished. Many people do not know that. Not just that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua against the person who does not end up being forgiven in Ramadan. Like, you have to be straight up evil to dodge every opportunity in Ramadan, including Laylatul Qadr, and still come out sinful individual. How is that even possible? Like, you had to work very hard, subhanAllah, right? Like, literally, how many people bugged you? WhatsApp, messages, DM, let's go, Taraweeh, Qiyam, let's make dua, like, whatever. Like, you had to put do not disturb, like, you had to take action, not to do anything, subhanAllah, right? So, as much as Laylatul Qadr is full of rahmah, full of forgiveness, full of greatness, not utilizing this blessing will haunt us down. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in authentic hadith, there's a night in Ramadan that is worth more than 1,000 months. Whoever misses out on its greatness has truly missed out. مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ. There's nothing that can make up for it. So may Allah not make us of those who miss out by sleeping the entire night, just like they were وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. May Allah protect us, and may Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. And Raghad, will think of what gift, at minimum, will make dua for you. May Allah bless you and all the entire team, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. But we'll take one brother, inshallah, Brother Saqib, to perhaps help us out and tell us his thoughts, inshallah. Go ahead, Brother Saqib.
I just wanted to ask that I have heard that the risk for the coming year is decided on Laylatul Qadr. So it is related to the story. because it's Laylatul Qadr, and how much we're going to get the coming year based on how much rahmah we're going to receive tonight.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, wonderful. Brother Saqib, may Allah allow the angels tonight to write for you rizq in a way that you've never imagined.
Amen.
Allahumma barak. Ahsan, beautiful, that's true. Allah says, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. On the Laylatul Qadr, Allah reveals to the angels what will happen to that person. Ibn Abbas says in authentic narration, the provision that you will get, who will be born and who will die, who will go to Hajj, who will not go to Hajj, all that will be written perhaps tonight. And you have some power. Yes, you have some power to adjust what's being written. Yes, you do. And that's why we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء. Nothing can change decree or destiny except dua. So while they're writing, use this night, inshallah, to have them write the best for you, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some of the scholars have said, do to Allah what He loves, so He can write for you what you love and more. So may Allah allow us to do what Allah loves, and may Allah write for us all that which is love. And indeed, nothing will be written for anyone here with us, no believing man or woman online or watching, who says La ilaha illallah. Nothing will be written for you tonight or tomorrow or whenever it is, Laylatul Qadr, except salam hatta matla' al-fajr. It's all peace. Everything will be written for you will be good. Whether it was pain, it was joy, it was life, it was death. It's all salam, peace, and blessings upon you all. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khairan, Sheikh Majid, for that informative session. These are ayats that maybe we read a lot, but the background story is so special to understand it. And the reflections really added as well. Thank you to all of you who shared both in the chat and vocally, just about how related it is to our own lives. Sometimes we make decisions thinking that, you know, if I don't do this, it's, you know, if I don't give this, or if I don't go there, when in reality, doing the good, we're guaranteed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written the provision. So we always do good. And I thought that was so special. So thank you for sharing that. And Sheikh Majid, you know, we have a special way of giving gifts here in the Ramadan.
Oh, excellent.
And that is the spin the wheel. Spin the
excellent.
Wheel. So have you been with
excellent.
Us for Spin the Wheel before?
Yes, we did the online virtual seminar.
We did cool. It. Yes. You know very well. You know very well. Yes. So Sister Raghad, inshallah, we are going to go ahead and pin your video for a moment. You can join us here. So we're going to go ahead and spin the wheel. I'll share my screen here in a moment. And I know that it's a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement right now. So try to, everyone stay calm. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this, inshallah. We have the wheel picker now live on the screen. So we have some amazing choices here. We have a year of Faith Essentials. We have the all access pass for a year. That's amazing. We have the admiration of your peers. If you don't have that already, we have dua from the Sheikh. So all kinds of options. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you whichever one that you want on this blessed time. Let's go ahead and spin the wheel. MashaAllah. All right. So we got 1 month of Faith Essentials for free. So may Allah sponsor and benefit you with that. We will go ahead and ensure that we get you hooked up with that 1 month, inshallah ta'ala, of Faith Essentials. If you already have a subscription, we'll just tack it on to that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, but we'll take care of that. So jazakumullah khair for participating. I wish we could spin it for all of you. You're all amazing, alhamdulillah. But we appreciate your participation, Sister Raghad. Jazakumullahu khaira. And we will, inshallah, get that out to you. And Sheikh Majid, inshallah ta'ala, I wondered if you could stay with us for just another quick moment as well.
Sure.
You've been able to teach online seminars. You had the opportunity to see a diverse amount of students coming from all over the world. This campaign that we're doing, you know, we're trying to make sure that we're funding the future of Al-Maghrib. We're funding the ability to produce high quality content, to be able to get content out to folks that don't otherwise have access to it. I was just curious, what makes this special for you in terms of making sure that we're set up for the future of Al-Maghrib online?
JazakAllah khair, Brother Abdurrahman, for the question. You know, Allahumma barik, when the whole pandemic took place, you know, many people struggled. And may Allah make it easy on all people, Ya Rab. Genuinely making this dua, may Allah make it easy for all people. But you also notice that during times of difficulty, some people have opportunities of growth, have opportunities to seize, but maybe not take it. And one thing I really appreciate with Al-Maghrib is during this whole couple of years, their work increased. I didn't say stay the same. They actually increased in production, in quality, videos, with the Sheikh Ammar or Sheikh Umar Sayman, Sister Yasmin Mujahid, and lectures being recorded. I traveled during the pandemic once traveled, you know, all the way to Houston to record my Art of Manners class. All that stuff, subhanAllah. So the work did not stop, actually grew and more and more and more. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. As a result of this, for Al-Maghrib to perhaps be able to continue producing such high-end production, may Allah keep them all steadfast and strong, is through our support, inshallah. So when I see something like that, I always tell people, even in fundraisers in general, or anything that goes through like that, I tell the organizers, show the people what you've done. You have to show them what you've done and where their wealth will go and all these things, just to encourage. Like, see, this is what happened. See, imagine if we have more, right? So all these things, inshallah. Ahsan, very good question. So having all that work being done, the classes being recorded, some wonderful stuff, the Zoom sessions, mashallah, barakallah, have Sheikh Sa'ad Tasim coming up, you know, registering for Zoom, you know, Zoom has a restriction. We have, mashallah, over 200 people online. So all these things, it's not free, right? There's work being involved, all the good stuff. But I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that though we have a lot of online stuff, I pray to Allah, genuinely pray to Allah, to go to every single place that is mentioned next to each one's name, whether you're in Japan, I have Kuala Lumpur, UK, Indonesia, Canada, all of you. May Allah bless you all. Wa jazakum Allah khairan for your efforts.
Ameen. Wa jazakum Allah khairan for your effort as well, Shaykhana. Thank Ameen. You for Ameen. That perspective. You know, like you said, I know we wish we could be in every community, in every city around the world, but we actually can through this effort, right? We actually are able to produce that content and get it out there. Mashallah, I didn't realize Art of Manners was fully recorded. So I'm excited to see that go live, inshallah, very soon. We're very excited to take that from you. Shaykhana, we'll go ahead and let you get going. But thank you once again for sharing with us in this special time in Ramadan 360. May Allah bless you and bless your family. We hope to see you again very soon, virtually and inshallah in person.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And so with that, we'll drop the link one more time. Again, if we can be a part of this almaghrib.org/give campaign, even a few dollars, we can go such a long way. There are many of you, I'm sure, who could tell the story better than me. I know some of you do live in places where there's not a big masjid, there's not an institution, there's not a place to learn. So why not be a part of continuing this legacy that Al-Maghrib has built, starting way back in 2014 in terms of recordings, accelerating tremendously during the pandemic, and inshallah, we're setting ourselves up to continue to do that well into the future. So we appreciate your support, JazakAllah khair, and everyone for your willingness to give and for the charity and the generosity that you have already shown, alhamdulillah. And with that, I know we have Sheikh Saad Taslim getting set up, so I'm watching for Sheikh Saad. Once you are ready and you come on camera, we'll get you spotlighted here. And mashallah, tabarakallah, there we are. So Sheikh Saad, we are excited. Now I do have to say, and we want to jump into the session, but this is the last time in this Ramadan, inshallah, that we're going to have Sheikh Saad Taslim with us for the Quran Reflect. I know I speak on behalf of everyone here, and I'm sure the folks on YouTube and on Facebook as well, in saying a hearty jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for the sincerity, for the devotion, for the effort that you've put in to these sessions and these couple of ayahs, even though it's a short study every day, but it's an opportunity to engage with the Quran in such a way that many of us may not have access to locally. And even if we do, we're so blessed to have your perspective, to have your experience in teaching the subject, which I know you're very passionate about. And we know that whoever doesn't thank the people does not thank Allah. So we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. JazakAllahu khairan. We hope to experience more of the Quran with you. And if we're not in this virtual gathering, which inshallah there are angels all around the world surrounding us as we study the Quran together, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us, just as he's gathered us here virtually, to gather us together, tahta dhillihi, yawma la dhilla illa dhillu, under his shade on the day that there's no shade except for his, and in Jannat al-Firdaus, where we can speak about this beautiful sessions that we experience with you. So jazakallah khair, Shaykh, and we appreciate you so much. I'll get you a co-host in here. Bismillah, you're good. Fadda.
Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair. You're saying all these beautiful things, and I was like, I can't respond. I'm muted. I'm saying, I mean, in my heart. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. Barakallah fiqh, Akhi Abdul Rahman. Honestly, it's been good to be here. Alhamdulillah, I've really enjoyed my Ramadan. You know, one thing that's been consistent for me, this Ramadan has actually been quite chaotic. I've traveled quite a bit in Ramadan. There's a lot going on. Even in my personal life, there's a lot going on, subhanAllah. But this consistency for me has been great, alhamdulillah. I'm very glad for anyone who has been able to benefit, alhamdulillah. Today is the last day that I will be joining you for a Quran Reflect, but I believe I'm back on Saturday for the 5 p.m. session. So as far as I know, unless something changes, I'll be back, inshallah. So let's get started, inshallah, for today's session. Yeah. I do want to make a quick disclaimer right after this. 6:30 my time, 6:40, I'm going to be doing my live podcast. So I'm going to have to make a hard stop at 6:30 my time, whatever time that is for you, inshallah ta'ala. And if you want to join me, you can join me right on my podcast right after this, inshallah. We do a live podcast. It's very different than this setting. It's very, very casual. I'll post a link to the podcast at the end of our session, inshallah, in the chat, so you can join it. All right, let's get started. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Akhi Abdurrahman, would you be okay reciting for us? I know you're hosting today. I don't want to put too much on your plate. But if you're down, let me know. Let me put the ayat in the chat. Bismillah. It's Surah Al-Dhariyat, verses 55-58.
Sounds good, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ.
Jazakallah khair. Allah yibarak feek wa fi ahlik. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. May Allah bless you and your family and grant you the best of this life and the next. And may Allah allow me to join you in paradise in the afterlife and all of us together. Allahumma ameen. Okay, bismillah. So let's break this down, inshallah ta'ala. In this verse, for starting with 55, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get to all the way to 58. We'll see how far we get, inshallah. But let's start with this verse 55. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, wa dhakkir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen. And remind, for indeed the reminding benefits the believers. Now, this is a verse that I'm sure many of us have heard many times. And it's very interesting. It's ironic that this verse serves as a reminder, even though the message of the verse is that remind the believers, for indeed the believers benefit from the reminding. First of all, right off the bat, I want to get you to start thinking about this verse and reflecting upon it. And, you know, as we've been talking about throughout this whole month, is one of the tools of reflection, the principles of reflection, is to think about the specific wording that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran. So first thing, one of the things that jumps out to us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wa dhakkir and remind, but Allah doesn't say for us, Allah doesn't mention who we should be reminding, right? It is left just and remind, right? Remind who? It's not mentioned. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention who is to be reminded? Rather, Allah mentions the outcome of the reminding, and that is فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that the reminding, it benefits the believers. So if you raise your hand, inshallah, right early on in our session, if you have any ideas, what you think about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and remind, وَذَكِّرْ, but who is to be reminded, that is not mentioned. So what is the significance of that? Let's see, I see a couple people putting it in the chat, or see one person. Let's see, bismillah.
All right, we have a hand here. Yes, we have a hand. Let's go ahead, Sister Sana from Ottawa. Go ahead and unmute. I see you're unmuted, but we can't hear you, Sister Sana. All right, maybe check and make sure you have the right microphone selected. I know that happens sometimes where the mic could be the wrong one. Any other hands, inshallah? Okay, we have a couple more coming. Bismillah. All right. How about, let's go with Sister Ferdosa from Dublin. Go ahead.
Salaam
alaikum. Salaam alaikum.
I'm taking it to remind everyone, because you never know who's going to benefit from that reminder. Basically, so it's a call everyone to the deen, like call everyone to the religion, remind them of like our purpose of this on this earth is to worship Allah. So it's a command to remind everyone, and then those who benefit then will be the believers or whoever Allah chooses to guide, basically.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's see what else we have, what other reflections we have on this. Bismillah. All
right. Sister Farhiya from Minnesota, please go ahead.
So what I'm assuming is the ayah before also mentions, like, you know, because they kept on reminding and like he's been turned down, there are multiple people who are turning down, especially the disbeliever, but the Allah is reminding, hey, keep on reminding them, even if they disbelieve or not, there is always those that are guided, so keep on reminding believers and disbelievers, especially believers who have weak iman. So it's like there is this strong thing, like, hey, keep on being reminded of the good that's going to come to them at the end.
Very good. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Do we have anyone else? Bismillah. Take one more person, inshallah.
Sister Yvette, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Like, salam wa barakatuh.
Just like the sister said previously, like a lot of times, you know, I think the verse is just saying that it didn't mention who to remind, because there's people that watch us and look at us and see us, and our actions, you know, verbally and non-verbally, our actions are reminders to the people. So by not putting a particular group, because we might just go and just speak to that group. We might not speak to the non-believers, because Allah might have mentioned one particular group. So I think that's why it was left, like Allah didn't mention a particular group or name particular people, because we're reminders also to ourselves. You know, like we remind ourselves that, okay, I should have done this, I should have done that. Yeah. So,
yeah. Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair. Everything that's been mentioned is good and inshallah ta'ala valid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. A little bit of me asking you this question, it was like 50% a trick question and 50% it was a test for all of you. And the test was one of the first principles that I said, the first and probably the most important principles of reflection is to personalize the message, right? And I know a lot of times when we hear this verse, and like I said, I'm sure you know you've heard this verse before. We hear this word, this verse, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "Wadhakir fa'inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin," and remind, reminding benefits the believers. We think to ourselves, "I gotta go and remind," right? That this is how we think, and that's true. That the verse is addressing us. That's first. But how about those who are being reminded? Do we put ourselves in that position to ask ourselves, what is our reaction? How do we behave when we are reminded, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, dhakir, right? That is general, everyone should be reminded, but it is only, and the significance of this, subhanAllah, sometimes gets lost on people, it is فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is the believers who will be reminded, who will benefit from this reminder. So we ask ourselves, are we that person? Is our faith at a level? And actually, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined faith in this verse as being able to be reminded, or being one who takes benefit from being reminded. So we can very quickly test ourselves and ask ourselves, how do I behave when I'm reminded, right? What is my reaction? Am I immediately, do I put up a wall? Do I get defensive? Do I feel attacked? Or what is my reaction? Or is it that as a believer, I can benefit, even if, and I say this, you know, as something that is very relevant, to, even if the reminder isn't done in the best possible way, right? Because oftentimes we hear reminders, the reminder is good, the message is good, but the way the message is delivered is bad. And for the one who is doing the reminding, yeah, that's something that they're responsible for, right? So when we are in the position of doing the reminding, yeah, and we're going to talk about this, inshallah, but they have to do it in the best possible way. And even subhanAllah, there are certain conditions that should be met before we remind and advise people and so on and so forth. But as someone who is receiving the reminder, I cannot go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and say, I didn't like the way they reminded me, so I didn't listen to them, right? I didn't like their attitude. They were judging me, you know, and I don't like the fact that they judged me. And so, you know what? I just didn't listen to them, right? What concerns us is the message itself. And like I said, the message is not always delivered in the best possible way. And the person who's doing that, that's something that they're responsible for. That is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they're responsible to Allah regarding how they deliver that message. But as the recipient of the message, we are, subhanAllah, we are responsible for what we did when the message came to us. And also the other point here, and like I said, what is mentioned is valid as well. Allah says, وَذَكِّرَ, and then, you know, and remind, and the who is to be reminded specifically is not mentioned, but Allah mentions the outcome, فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, meaning remind everyone, and you don't know who amongst those whom you are reminding will be believers, right? Either they already have faith, right? And they're already believers and they therefore benefit, or they don't have faith, and because of the reminder, they attain faith, right? But you don't know. You don't know who that is. The way to understand that is their reaction to the reminder. And this is, you know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, we know this in other verses of the Quran as well. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, I believe in Surah Al-Furqan, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا, that there are those who, when they're reminded of the ayat of their Lord, the revelation of their Lord, they don't turn a blind eye to it, nor a deaf ear, right? And this is, once again, it's they, but when we approach these verses, we want it to be about us, right? Me first, and not even us. I shouldn't even say us, because sometimes when we say us, it's an excuse to include other people and kind of take the attention off of ourselves. It should be me, it should be I, right? How am I when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I hear the ayat of Allah, when I hear a reminder from Allah regarding the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And obviously Surah Al-A'la, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعْتِ ذِكْرًا, and remind if the reminder should benefit, right? إِن نَفَعْتِ ذِكْرًا, if it should remind them. And once again, who is to be reminded? The believers will benefit from the reminders. And telling us also the other point of reflection here is not everyone will benefit from the reminder, right? So we remind everyone, it's open, it's not specified, but not everyone will benefit. And that's something that we need to be mindful of. We need to be aware of that so we are not faced with disappointment, right? When we say, you know, I reminded all these people and no one benefit, whatever. Once again, that their iman, their faith is something between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't, for us, it's not about the outcome, right? Allah guides whomever he wills. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You don't guide those whom you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاء. It is Allah who guides whomever he wills, right? We are not responsible. We are not in charge of changing people's hearts, but we are in charge of وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. The only thing that the messenger is put in charge of is giving the message, delivering the message. So once again, if we ponder on these, on this verse in particular, it becomes very significant that it's a message for both the one who is doing the reminding and also the one who is receiving the reminder, right? The one who is doing the reminding and also the one who is receiving the reminder. Also, our scholars mentioned one of the benefits of this verse, no pun intended, is that giving the reminder is in the form of a command. Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ. It's a form of, Allah is giving a command that reminds. So it is an obligation upon us that we remind. And obviously, as I believe one of our sisters mentioned, I believe it was Sister Yvette who said, we remind ourselves, right? So reminding ourselves, first and foremost, that is an obligation. That we are reminding ourselves about what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and so on and so forth. And then those closest to us, and then closest to us, that is part of our responsibility as a believer. Also, we learn from this verse, and this is such a beautiful verse, subhanAllah, and it's very sad that the way that this verse is studied sometimes is only from the perspective of the one giving the advice, which is, don't get me wrong, it's equally important, right? It's very, very important that we remind other people, but we miss out on so much of the meaning of this verse when we don't put ourselves in the position of those who are receiving the reminder, right? But the point, regarding this verse or point of benefit is that it is from our faith that we benefit from the reminders, right? And benefit doesn't just mean that I heard a reminder and my life changed. And that's subhanAllah, and misunderstanding that sometimes people have, that benefiting from the reminder, the first step in benefiting from the reminder is being able to hear it, understand it, and to take it in, and to think about it, and to approach it with sincerity, right? Then the tawfiq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ability to actually change because of a reminder, to be affected by a reminder, that is tawfiq. That is an ability that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we are in charge of is opening our hearts, opening our minds, opening our hearts, not putting up any barriers, not putting our ego aside, and like I said, it becomes even bigger of a test when, unfortunately, the reminder happens publicly, or the reminder happens in a way that we don't like, or a person was rude, or they were obnoxious, or they used, not the best language, or whatever it may be. That's not what we are responsible for, subhanAllah. That's really, as I said, that is something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. It's not for us to judge. And I often say, subhanAllah, when sometimes people accuse other people of judging them, people say, only God can judge me, right? By telling someone that they're judging you, you're actually judging them, right? Someone says to you, like, brother, you should pray 5 times a day. How dare you judge me? Right, you think you're better than me, blah blah. You think I'm a bad Muslim, blah blah. They didn't say any of that. They just said you should pray. And now, subhanAllah, by telling them that they're judging you, you're actually judging them. Right? The irony of that. You tell someone like, "How dare you judge me?" It's like, no, you're judging them because you're assuming that they're looking down upon you, or they think they're better than you, or whatever assumptions that a person may have made. But it is from our faith that we are open to being reminded, regardless of how the reminder has been given to us. And also, the stronger our faith, the more we will be able to benefit from reminders. And that is a way that we can, like a litmus test, we can test our faith and say, how open am I to being reminded by people, or reminded by anyone, as I said, regardless of how the message was given. Okay, there's a lot to be said about that verse, but I want to cover a few verses today, inshallah. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn nor humankind except to worship me. And what this means is that this is what Allah has legislated. Allah has legislated that humankind and jinn kind that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the decree of Allah in the sense of we are not forced to do this, right? Allah could have forced us to worship him, meaning Allah could have decreed that we all worship him, and as is the case with the angels. And it's very interesting that Allah mentions the jinn and ints together in this, and that one of the wisdoms behind that is it's in opposition to the other main creation of Allah, and that is the angels, right? The angels are created also to worship Allah, but they're not given the choice. Because so Allah could have said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنْسَ وَالْإِنسَ وَالْمَلَائِكَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, right? I didn't create the jinn, human beings, and malaika, except for my worship, which would have been correct if the meaning is that Allah has created them in that way, meaning they don't have free will in that. Right? That's how Allah has created them as worshipers, meaning, you know, that is they're forced, basically not forced, but they're, that's the best way to put this, that's part of their creation, right? So, for example, part of our creation, the way Allah has created us is we eat and drink, right? It's part of who we are. Similarly, and I'm not sure I'm articulating this in the best possible way, but similarly, Allah could have created us that part of our being is that we naturally worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has given us the free will. Allah has given us free will, meaning we can decide whether to worship Allah or not. So this verse is talking about Allah legislating. Allah has created jinn and human beings. Allah has legislated for them in their creation. Allah has legislated for them that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is important for us because we understand that not everyone follows that command, right? But this is where the command is given, amongst the other places, but this is one of the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, look, the purpose of your creation, the most important job, the most important purpose of you being created is for you to worship Allah. Once again, we put ourselves in, personalize this message and say, how much am I fulfilling the purpose of my creation and the purpose of my existence, right? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me. Quick question for you. Why are the jinn mentioned before? I had another question, which was, why aren't the angels included in this? But I already answered that for you. I gave a freebie for you, inshallah. So it's my last day, so I'm feeling a little bit generous, all right? But another question you can think, ponder on, inshallah, is why are the jinn mentioned before human beings? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So raise your hand, inshallah, and we can see what possible reflections you have on this.
All right, let's see who's with us here on this one. So why are the jinn mentioned first? Let's see. MashaAllah, hands going up quickly. Let's see. How about Fasiha Majid from Dammam in Saudi Arabia? Go ahead and unmute.
Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinns before humans. And we know this because in the Quran, the angels asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he created Adam alayhi salam, that why are you creating another creation that will, you know, cause fitna in the land, cause, you know, fasad in the land. So that is how we know that, you know, the jinns were created before and they were on earth for a long time.
Very good. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Good answer. Good answer. Valid. The jinn were created before human beings. وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Allah said the jinn, we created them before, meaning the creation of mankind. So yeah, definitely the jinn were created before mankind. That could be one of the reasons. Do we have anything other than that? Anything other than that? Bismillah.
See, we have, mashallah, the regulars are all raising their hand. Those of you who have an answer, feel free to jump in. We appreciate the regulars by all means. Go ahead and keep your hands up. We appreciate that. But also feel free to jump in if you haven't answered yet. Let's go ahead. Farhia from Minnesota, what do you think?
Oh, sorry. So I think what she also said was true, is that they were created before us, but then there's also that jinns are separated and independent creation from mankind. So they themselves were given that freedom as a will of, you know, there's the good jinns and there's the evil ones. There's a test for all of them as well, like the ones that follow Iblis and the ones that are good and are trying to be good jinns. So I think they also have their own freedom and will.
Okay, very good, very good. But still, the question remains, why are they mentioned before ints, right? Before human beings. So do we have anyone else? Bismillah, anyone else?
Weren't they also like the first to get tested? Like as in, they're the first examples. They're the first that got, you know, were tested before humankind.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a beautiful reflection. The jinn were tested before human beings were tested. And amongst them, we know of the main test that we know. Obviously, there were tests that were before that. But the main test is the test of Iblis, right? The shaitan, who was tested by making sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And the worship was not to Adam. This is not, you know, hopefully this is clear. The worship was to Allah. The sajda was to Adam alayhi salam. This is something that was allowed in previous nations. But is not allowed in our ummah. Prophet forbade for one human being to make sajda, or for a human being to make sajda to anyone, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been forbidden, right? And now the only sajda that remains is sajdatul ibadah, meaning anytime someone makes sajda, it is considered ibadah. And therefore the ibadah is only to Allah, and we're not allowed to make sajda to anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, very good. Another point that we can mention here, I see another hand. Is that a different answer? Is it the same answer? I'm curious. My curiosity got to me. Let's see. Let's see what they have to say. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry about that. I just thought of asking you a question, come answer as well, because we thought.
No time for questions right now.
No. I mean, Day of Judgment, will the jinns will be addressed first or the humans? So I thought, okay, maybe the jinns are going to be accountable first, and their deeds will be accounted first and then the humans. So that's why it is. I just Allah thought
of, I don't know. I'm not aware of the jinns being their accounting taking place before human beings. I'm not aware of that. Wallah. Interesting question though. Interesting question. I'll give you another point of benefit here, which you may or you may not know, and this is not something that's really a reflection. It's something that comes, you may have learned this before, but there were those amongst the mushrikun who would worship the jinn. They would worship the jinn. And what we can understand is basically when things are supernatural, things, you know, seem out of the ordinary, people are inclined to worship something like that, right? And so the mushrikun, there were those amongst them who would worship the jinn. So to clarify that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala scholars mentioned that and this mentioned by Ibn Ashur, by the way, that Allah mentioned the jinn first, right? That the jinn were also created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other benefit here for us is from our worship of Allah, our submission to Allah is to believe in the jinn, right? And so this is a point of benefit here. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the jinn first, right? Some a being that we don't have access to. We can't see them, we can't talk to them. We don't really have access to the jinn, but it is from belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we believe in the jinn. And so for those who don't believe in the jinn, this is for them, right? As a reminder for them. And even subhanAllah, you may have heard this verse before. It's a very common verse and it's a famous verse. A non-Muslim may have come to you and said, you know, what's the purpose? As a Muslim, what's the purpose of life? And you say, aha, we have a verse for that. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And then you translate it, not you, you is in the general you, or one may translate it as, in this verse, God is saying that he hasn't created human beings except to worship Allah. And we kind of leave out the jinn part of it, right? Why? I don't know, man. How am I going to explain to this guy right here what the jinn are? You know, I say, okay, Allah didn't create the jinn. Wait, hold up. Who are the jinn? Well, we believe that there's another being creation that Allah has created and we don't have access to them. And this, and you sit and like, whoa, that's too much to explain. Let me just leave the jinn out of this whole explanation. Maybe we're shy, or maybe, you know, giving the brother or the sister benefit of the doubt, you know, they just don't have enough knowledge about the jinn, so they don't want to get into it. But this verse forces us to believe in something that is from ilm al-ghayb, from this is the knowledge of the unseen, right? And so, subhanAllah, for us as believers, I know this is a little bit of a moot point, what I'm about to say, but it behooves us to understand what we know authentically about the world of the jinn, right? And I say it's a little bit of a moot point because sometimes some people love talking about the jinn, that they go overboard. All they talk about is the jinn, right? Jinn stories and this and that and whatever. I always remember, subhanAllah, those of you who know Sheikh Abdul Bari, Allah hafadhu, He once said that the two things people love to hear about is marriage topics and jinn topics, right? He says so the best, most famous lecture will be jinn marriages. And you do a lecture on jinn marriages, everybody's going to come listen to it, right? Because people love hearing about marriage-related topics and love hearing about jinn topics. So do a lecture on jinn marriages. Mashallah, you have a full attendance in that type of lecture. But point being, there are some people, they go overboard, but you know, there's a lot there, and also regarding the jinn, there's a lot of information that is not authentic. A lot of it is, honestly, it's hearsay. A lot of information that, and I don't really have time to get into the world of the jinn, but I deal with this in a little bit in the course with you know, the shaitan, because the shaitan is a jinn. So we dispel some of the misconceptions people have about the jinn and so on and so forth. But once again, the point being that it is from our worship of Allah and submission to Allah to believe in the knowledge of the unseen. We're running out of time. I do want to finish these two verses that we have, inshallah. So I'm going to try and zoom through it. Inshallah. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقْ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطَعِمُونَ. I do not seek from them مِنْ رِزْقْ, any type of provision. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطَعِمُونَ, and nor do I want them to feed me. Real quick, inshallah. Hopefully the meaning is understood. Allah is saying, I don't need from them. And the them here is the previous verse, jinn and ins, the jinn and mankind. I don't need for them any, I don't need any provision from them. And I don't need, I don't have any need that they would feed me. What is the relationship between this verse and the previous verse? The previous verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I haven't created jinn nor man except for my worship. And then this verse, Allah says, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ, I do not need from them any provision, nor do I need from them to feed me. What is the relationship? Real quick, if we have someone who can tie the two verses together. Bismillah.
I think the relationship between the two is the first verse is saying that Allah created the men and jinn, and then he's reinforcing the first verse by saying he doesn't need anything from them. So just the fact that we were created to worship Allah, well, I feel like my reflection is that I feel that was created to worship Allah, and Allah is just letting me know, I don't need anything from you. The only thing I need from you to do is worship me. So there's nothing I can do for Allah. Allah does everything for us, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good reflection, but we do need to amend it a little bit, right? So you're almost there. Allah doesn't need anything from me, right? That's true. Allah doesn't need anything from us, but we have to take it a step further and say Allah does not even need us to worship him, right? So Allah said, I haven't created you except for my worship, right? And so we may think, oh, Allah needs me to worship him, right? That Allah needs us to, no, Allah here is reminding us that Allah is not in need for us to worship him. The message here, if we think about this, really think about this, is we worship Allah for our own benefit, right? It is we who benefit from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need anything from us. Allah is not in need that we worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas antum al-fuqara ila Allah. O mankind, O people, you are the ones who are in need of Allah, right? Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah is the one who is free of any need, and he is the one who is the praiseworthy, right? So if we were to look at that verse, and sometimes subhanAllah, people, even talking to non-Muslims, I've gotten this response before, when someone says, and you say, what is the purpose of your life? Say, to worship Allah. Well, what kind of God is this? That he just creates you to worship him, right? Like, so what, and when na'iyadu billah, you know, may Allah forgive us for even mentioning this, but this is what people say, that it's a petty God, right? That this type of God, he needs you, he needs to be praised, he needs to be worshipped. No. Allah does not need us to praise him. Allah is praised. In his own being, he is praised. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is al-ghani. He is free of any need. Allah does not need us to worship him, but Allah knows that we need to worship him in order to live fulfilled lives and to be happy. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions, I don't need, basically the message here is, I don't need anything from them. And then in the next verse, Allah says, Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaq. It is Allah who is the one who is the provider. And the provider is actually the supreme provider, the utmost provider, meaning Allah is the one who provides for everyone. And also Razzaq has the meaning of continually providing, right? Inna Allah huwa Razzaq. That if you think that Allah needs anything, no, it is Allah is the one who provides. Dhu quwwat al-mateen. He is he possesses all the strength, right? The most severe strength, the most power is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs anything from you. Once again, the message here is that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to share, I'll end with this hadith, which is one of my favorite hadiths, subhanAllah. I've mentioned it actually in two of my classes. I made it part of the curriculum in my classes because this hadith is so relevant. Hadith Abu Hurairah mentioned in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet ﷺ said that he mentioned the example of a person who takes a long journey, comes very far, and they are disheveled and dusty, and then they spread their hands to the sky, and they spread their hands, they look to the sky, and they say, Rabbi, Rabbi. They say, my Lord, my Lord. I mean, they start asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَمَطَعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامٍ فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Prophet ﷺ says that this person is saying, Rabbi, Rabbi, right? And I believe another narration, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, right? Oh, my Lord, right? However, this person, their food was haram. They fed themselves with haram. Their drink was haram. Their clothing was haram. They nourished themselves. They were nourished with haram. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Then how is it that their dua will be answered? And if you really reflect upon this, it's a very interesting narration, because it is not saying that if you are sinful that Allah will not answer your prayer. That is not the message here. The message here is that by worshiping Allah, by submitting to Allah, we bring the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, right? And we trust in Allah, we rely upon Allah by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who has never done that in their life, how much strength is there in their dua? How powerful is their dua when they have never sought out Allah for their whole life, right? And this is a reminder from the Prophet, one of the meanings of this hadith. And there are other benefits we get from this hadith as well. But one of the meanings is that this person spent their whole life, and some of our scholars have said that this example is of a person who goes to make hajj, right? They travel a long distance, a long journey, subhanAllah. You know, we know hajj took a very long time, especially back in the day. Even now, it takes a long time. But especially back in the day, they're disheveled, they get there, but they hadn't prepared themselves, right? And now they've come to ask because there's like, you know, just they got to go through the motions, right? But the reality is that we are the ones who are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we leave off the haram and we turn to the halal and we leave off, we wear halal, we eat halal, we nourish ourselves with halal, it is for our benefit. Allah doesn't need us to follow these laws and these regulations. Allah does not benefit from that. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I'm going to go ahead and end here. I wish we had more time to reflect upon this. I really hope, inshallah ta'ala, that we can, there's a Quran I was teaching called Quranic Vibes, which was the birth of this, subhanAllah, these live reflection circles. But the whole point of those, subhanAllah, of that seminar was to get us to start reflecting upon the Quran. So if that seminar comes back, I hope you can join us. It's wonderful. Alhamdulillah, we have quite a big audience here, but those seminars get even more intimate, and I ask very specific questions, and you know, the back and forth, it's beautiful, alhamdulillah. So if that comes back, I don't know if it's coming back, but if it does come back, I hope you can join me, inshallah ta'ala. And I did promise you, inshallah, that I would post the link to the live podcast. I'll go ahead and post it here. I just want to remind you, it's a very casual setting. It's basically me and a friend of mine, someone who I've known for a very long time. We're just kicking it, we're just chilling. So if you're coming for like deep knowledge and like ilm, and that's what these sessions are for. But if you want to come hang out with us, inshallah. We're going to be starting, subhanAllah, in 5 minutes. So jazakumullah khair, may Allah bless all of you and your families, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our worship during this month. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to witness Laylatul Qadr and accept from us the worship on Laylatul Qadr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to complete the month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah that we exit the month of Ramadan with all our sins forgiven and amongst those who are written to be in paradise. Allahumma ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Saab, we'll let you go ahead and get to the podcast. I know the setup is takes a few minutes, so please go take care of that, inshallah ta'ala. And with that, we will be wrapping up our session for today. However, Sheikh Saab will be back with us, not for Quran Reflect, but he will be back for the main session on Saturday. So Saturday, inshallah ta'ala, he'll be with us. The topic will be the companion of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So definitely check that out. Thank you for reposting the podcast, those of you who are doing that. Also tomorrow, inshallah, we have Trust the Process with Ustadha Yasmeen Mujahid. So please check us out then. We're looking forward to having you there. Come in, of course, refreshed, cameras on. I know for many of us, it will be after a long night of worship. We'll be a bit tired, but the energy today was great. Let's keep it going in Ramadan. Strong bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We absolutely appreciate that. Don't forget once again to support our charity partners, HHRD in the US, Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. And please support the almaghrib.org/give campaign, the Launch Good campaign, so we can continue to produce wonderful content as well. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless each and every one of you. It has been an honor to host you probably for the last time this year, but I'll be around inshallah in the Telegram group here in the chat with you. It's always a pleasure being with my family here around the world. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again to bless us with togetherness, if not in this world, then to bless us to be together in Jannah and to make these sessions, to make this time we spend together heavy on our scale of good deeds, ameen, and to make it a reason that we're successful not only in this life, but in the hereafter. Jazakumullahu khair. And this is your brother, Abdurrahman Wood, with love and respect to all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.